strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back. Barry Markson in for Broomhead. Thanks for joining us on this Friday, and it's an after-playoff loss Friday for the Suns. And to kind of get an idea of what happened here, Dave Burns is with us from 98.7 Arizona Sports. Dave, thanks for taking a couple of minutes with us.
No problem, Barry. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right. I mean, it was a tough night last night, and I'm just going to start with the obvious question. What is it about Dallas, the city of Dallas, that the Suns just don't like? What happens when we get there?
I don't know. They were the best road team in the NBA all year. I mean, it was remarkable. Their ability to kind of shut out the crowd, shut out the other team's best player, to be able to kind of block all of that out and really sort of accept and embrace that challenge of playing on the road. I don't know where that's gone. I don't. When this team has been in Dallas, I don't recognize this team. They're doing things that they haven't done all year. They're not doing things that they have done all year. And last night, it was almost like, and I know this isn't the case, this is more perception than reality, but it's almost like they knew in the back of their minds, hey, look, we're going to be back at home, game seven. We're dominant at home against this team. We've got that in our back pocket. So, hey, if we win tonight, great. If not, no big deal. We're going to be back home on Sunday. And I know that's not what happened, but that's how it felt and that's how it looked. And that's a very dangerous thing to do going into a game seven, because anything can happen on Sunday. And as crazy as it is to think about it, this thing could be over on Sunday, depending on how it goes.
Dave Burns with us from Arizona Sports 98.7. And Burns, I think you're right. And it's I don't think anyone went into it with the idea of, hey, we're just going to go back home and win game seven. But the Suns were kind of hanging in there for much of the first half. And then I'm just trying to figure out what happened. I mean, Chris Paul, let's start with him. What's happened to him? I mean, did he just age 40 years in the last four games? I don't know what happened to him.
Somebody made a joke on social last night that he must have made a deal with the devil to have this all-everything career, and then the minute he turned 37 years old, he had to give it all back. Because since he celebrated his birthday last Friday, 1 week ago today, Chris Paul turned 37, and his game has just vanished ever since. And I mean, look, he was bad last night. He's been bad for the last four games. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know if he's worn down. I took specific note after the game last night how he commented that this is the first time now between game six and seven where there's an extra day's rest between the games.
Yeah.
And he even spoke about how he's looking forward to that. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that extra day. And that suggests to me that maybe this season, and quite frankly, having to carry the Suns a little bit in the first round against the Pelicans, might be wearing him down a little bit, because he just has not even looked close to the same guy in this series that we come to expect in the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just so odd, even the games against the New Orleans. I mean, there were a couple games just recently where he took over and won it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's crazy.
But completely took over. It was a week ago, Barry, where there was a story on The Athletic calling Chris Paul the best player in the postseason so far. That's almost laugh out loud funny now. And I love Chris. I hate to say that about it, but that was just a week ago. It's been crazy to watch.
Is there any rumor or any whiff of something that he's injured? Because I said this morning, I wonder if he has an injury and they're just not telling anybody.
I've heard nothing, and I've thought the same thing. I've wondered, is there something behind the scenes? We saw him kind of shaking his hand a little bit, but I have heard absolutely nothing. And, of course, last night, you know, you expect Devin Booker to be the star in the moment, and that was one of the worst moments, I think, of Devin Booker's career. He just great first quarter, and the minute the script flipped to the second quarter, he was not only off, they were blitzing him, he couldn't handle the pressure very well, all the turnovers that he had. That was in a moment that you expected your stars to kind of step up and eliminate the Dallas Mavericks. Instead, they stepped back, and that was not what we were expecting to see.
Dave Burns with us here from Arizona Sports. And Burnsy, let me just ask you, it's not all these guys. I mean, what happened to Mikal Bridges? What happened to Jay Crowder? I mean, we've had a really good, solid starting team and off the bench, and these guys aren't really producing.
Yeah, again, Barry, it goes back to that home road thing that I can't explain. I kind of along the same line of thinking, I started looking at Mikal Bridges' numbers home and away, the role players home and away. Ayton had a good game last night. He was the one lone bright spot, I thought, for the Suns. Yeah. He played hard. He kind of asserted himself. Mikal Bridges especially is, at times, their third best player, their fourth best player. Boy, his numbers road to home. It has not translated at all. And to me, that's been one of the biggest culprits when they've been on the road, is in addition to Chris Paul and the spotty games that he's played in Dallas, is that Landry Shamet, the adjustment that Monty made going into Game 5 that worked so well, he wasn't very good last night. Biombo, you hardly knew he was on the floor. I don't know what it is about playing in that building. I don't know what it is about playing there, and I get it. It's tough to go on the road in the playoffs. It's harder in the playoffs than it is during the regular season. I just didn't think it would be this hard for a team that had made it look so easy all season long.
Yeah, and thank goodness we have the home court advantage. But I agree with you. A team that flourished on the road all season long and just looks like a different team in the playoffs. And I hope we figure it out on Sunday. But really, going forward, I mean, it's so funny to me. I was listening to I think it was Bigley Murata a few weeks ago, and people were literally calling in and saying, is it possible for the Suns to win this without losing a game, win the championship without losing a game? And the guys laughed at him then, but I mean, we're struggling right now. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, going into the playoffs, I thought they'd take care of the Pelicans in four or five games.
Right.
Going into this series, I thought they'd take care of the Mavs in five games, six at the most. I never imagined that the Suns would have played more than 11 games going into this next round. This is going to be game number 13 that they're going to play on Sunday, and I wasn't expecting that at all. And it's been, I mean, look, we're set up for game seven. Is the first game seven the Suns have had since 2006. You have to go back 16 years to find the last time the organization played a game seven. So those nerves, that kind of amped up feeling, it's been a while.
Keep in mind, they didn't have a game one in the playoff series for about 10 years too. So
you got to appreciate what you've had, right?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You got to appreciate how far we've come. But look, when you win 64 games and you set a franchise record for the most wins ever in a season, and you're the best team by a mile in the NBA, it's not unfair to suggest that this would be maybe the biggest disappointment in the history of the Suns if they can't even get out of the second round against the Dallas Mavericks. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. I'm thinking positive about it because they've played so well at home.
All right. Dave Burns with us, Arizona Sports 98.7. And Burnsy, thank you. Appreciate the insight.
Anytime, Barry.
All right. There you have it. On the other side. Well, let me say real quick, Brittany Griner, you know, the WNBA player she's been held in Moscow now for a few months. They had a little court hearing for her yesterday, and she's going to be held another month before they're hoping that'll be the trial after that. Just an unbelievably sad story. She's still being held there. I can't imagine how scared she is. And it's all because she had a vape pen with some oil that's allegedly got some cannabis in it. And, you know, that's punishable in Russia by up to 10 years in prison. So very scary stuff for her there. And hopefully she's not stuck there because of some political thing. But hopefully we get her home here as soon as possible. Coming up, we're going to talk about Twitter. You know about Elon Musk. He was going to buy Twitter. Well, he came out, was it late yesterday or first thing this morning, and said, hang on, I'm going to pause for a moment here while I look into whether, well, I'll tell you what he's pausing about and whether or not this sale is still going through. If you own Twitter stock, let's just say, didn't have a good day. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead, it's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead. And let me just take a moment. Thank you, Lorraine Potts from Phoenix. She won $100 as part of our 100 Days of Giving. As we say thanks, thanks to you for allowing us to be the trusted voice of the Valley for 100 years. Not only did Lorraine win $100, but we are also sending $100 to Arizona Developmental Services, which was the charity of her choice. For your chance to win $100 for yourself and your charity, just text 100-100 to 411-923. That's 100 to 411-923. All right, Barry Marks it in for Broomhead. And you know, we had Stacey Champion on just a little bit earlier about the homeless situation here here in Phoenix. And she is really just an amazing person. I mean, she works and has a job and everything, but just on her own time as a volunteer for the last 14 years, she goes down and just helps the homeless folks all the time. Just, and one of the things she does is just bring them things that they need. And she has a she has an Amazon wish list. So if people, if you'd like to buy something on that list, she gets it and she'll take it down as she does regularly. She goes down to the homeless area there. We talked about the zone where there's 1,100 homeless people now living outside in Arizona. So she's down there walking, meeting new people and helping them. And the folks who are really in a bad place, she helps them find a bed and a shelter or in a hotel nearby that need it. And just an incredible person. If you want to help, go to my Twitter page, Barry Markson 1, Barry Markson, the number 1, and I will post the link to her Amazon page, her wish list page for the homeless folks. So at least we can do something to help out and not an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. Look, you've been hearing about this for a little bit now, right? Elon Musk, he's buying Twitter. I don't know. He came out today and said, we're going to put this on a pause for a second. He said supposedly because he's trying to get some more information about how many bots there are and fake accounts and things like that. He wants to make sure he's what he's getting is what he thinks he's getting. Now, some people think he's trying to hunt for a lower price, that he's trying to get it for less than what his bid was. The Twitter price, the stock price went down considerably today after that announcement. He says he's still committed to buying it. But now people are wondering if it was like a strategy for him to get the price down. A lot of that because his own net worth has gone down considerably. Tesla's value with this recent stock decline has gone down like $400 billion. And his overall, his assets, his net worth has gone down a lot. So he's, I think, having some struggles to come up with the stock and the money that he was going to use to buy the company. He's looking for additional investors. And now some folks thinking he did this on purpose to kill the stock price, which will allow him to theoretically to come in and get it at a lower price. So we'll see. But I don't know what's happening here and whether or not Elon Musk is actually going to buy Twitter. It seemed like we were on that train, that it was going to happen. And now certainly a bit of a wrench thrown into it. And we'll, it's going to be, look, it's obviously up to Elon Musk if it's going to happen or not. He can always make it happen, but he's going to see where this goes. But the price just dove earlier today. It's come up a little bit, but still well below what it was when it started the day. So if you're waiting for Elon Musk to take over Twitter, the wait gets a little more perilous and may take a little bit longer to get there. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk about we got Jeff Munn here in the KTR News Center. He's going to give us an update on what's happening around the valley and around the world here in the news. And then we're going to talk about the Arizona Attorney General race. And it's an interesting race. There's 6 Republicans running for this race. They had a debate 2 days ago on Channel 8 on PBS. Ted Simons on Horizon did it, and it did a very nice job. And it was, for me as an attorney, it was a little scary, I'll be frank with you, to see. Now, they're all running for a political office. They have to win a primary. I mean, I get it, but we had 6 attorneys who want to be the attorney general, the number one law enforcement officer in Arizona, and really none of them stood up when asked about this election integrity stuff, when asked about whether the big steal occurred. I mean, some of them are just fully engaged with the conspiracy theory stuff, the big lie and everything else that the election was stolen. And even the ones who know better won't stand up and say this wasn't a problem. There is no evidence of widespread fraud. There is no evidence that this would have changed the outcome. Nobody would stand up and do that. And that's a concern to me. We're going to play some sound for you from that debate coming up. And some of the couple of these folks that are running, interesting characters. We'll have that for you as well. Stay with us. I'm Barry Markson, in for Broomhead. It's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Markson in for Broomhead, and thanks for being here. My goodness, lots going on here in the Valley of the Sun. We have our primary elections coming up in August, a little later than some states. And today we're going to talk about the Attorney General's race just a little bit because the Republicans, they did a debate, an Attorney General's debate for the primary just 2 days ago. It was on Horizon on Channel 8. And they brought all 6 of them in and sat them in some chairs. And Ted Simons did a nice job asking questions. And I'm going to just say this to you. I don't know why I should say I'm surprised, but I'm surprised. Because what I look for in an attorney general candidate, or frankly in a county attorney candidate, I'm an attorney, I look for people who are going to enforce the law. I look for people who are going to take this job seriously. They're not going to, I mean, yes, they're politicians. I get that. But this is a law enforcement job, and they have to come at it in a way that is at least somewhat impartial and show that justice is real, and they're going to deal with the state and protect the state and do things that benefit everybody. That they're not coming in this as a politician on one side or the other. And boy, that's not what we saw with this attorney general's debate just the other day. And it's unfortunate. And here's the big thing. There's six people running. There's a woman named Lacey Cooper. There's a guy named Rodney Glassman. I'm going to talk about Rodney in a minute. Andrew Gould. Andrew Gould used to be he was a Supreme Court justice here in Arizona. He retired this year. After serving about 5 years, I think 5 or 6 years, because he wanted to run for attorney general. There's someone named Dawn Grove. She's a manufacturing executive. She's a lawyer, and her family's business is Ping. So that's where she's coming from. There's a guy named Abraham Hamadat, who is a former prosecutor in Maricopa County. And he is, as he likes to say a lot, he's an Army guy. And he said that, I think he said it 12 times during the debate. And there's Tiffany Shedd, who's run for Congress before. And is now she's a cotton farmer, and now she's running for attorney general. So these folks are all debating. And here is the biggest thing. I mean, there are several parts of this that were concerning to me. But the biggest thing was Ted Simon said, if you were the attorney general in 2020, would you have certified? Would you have signed off on the election? And you know how Arizona works. After the votes are counted, after everything's in, after there's been time for lawsuits and everything else, every state has to certify their election, their vote, and they send it to the Congress. And that's what the Congress. That's what they're counting on January 6th. They're just confirming that the states have sent in their electors and everything's all set. And it's laid out by law what these office holders have to do. There's not a lot of it's not time for investigation. You either have evidence that it's not what it is, that the count's not right, or you don't. And if it's right, you certify. The governor certifies it. The secretary of state certifies it. And it's witnessed by the attorney general and the chief justice. And all four of those officers in Arizona did that in 2020. They did their job. That was the law. They followed the law. They did their job. These six candidates for attorney general as Republicans, not one of them said, yeah, I would do that because there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. There was no evidence even today after all these investigations and audits and everything else. There's still no evidence of widespread voter fraud. So, yes, of course, I would have certified it. Instead, four of the six said they would not have certified it. And it's, again, without evidence of fraud. It's absolutely amazing. Here's Abraham Hamada.
Abe, what do you think? Would you have signed?
So the attorney general actually doesn't certify. He's a witness to certification.
He's still signed. He's still there.
Correct.
To witness and sign. Would you have signed?
No.
I mean, no. Based on what? And he went on to cite this silly movie that just came out with more conspiracy theories. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Can't vote for this guy. He's done. In my eyes, he's done. How can you be an attorney and say you're going to follow the law and be the number one law enforcement officer in the state of Arizona, and you're saying that despite the vote of the people and without evidence of any wrongdoing or sufficient wrongdoing to change the outcome of the election, you would not vote to certify? Because what we're seeing is we're setting things up. What happens in 2024 if Trump runs again and Biden runs and we end up with everything the same as it was? No evidence of widespread voter fraud. Everything's fine. Everything's legit. I mean, we've had so many audits and reviews and everything else. But we have office holders in place now who, despite it's not just rhetoric anymore, now they're in office. And they say, no, I'm not going to do it. Like this, Abraham Hamada said he's not going to do it. And the only basis he gave for that, the only thing, was because he just watched that stupid conspiracy movie that just came out. That was his basis. Not facts, not evidence. I mean, seriously, that was his basis. He's a lawyer. He knows how this works. It's embarrassing for him, but it's scary for the rest of us. How do we possibly elect somebody to attorney general who is telling us now in advance they will not certify the next election in Arizona if they don't like the outcome? If the guy from the wrong party wins, how can we possibly put that person in office? Here's Rodney Glassman and Lacey, what's her name? Lacey Cooper. Here's their answer.
Did the current Attorney General do the right thing in signing those certificates?
No. Mark Brnovich has been asleep at the wheel for too long. No signing.
Lacey,
and I would have done the job well before.
Lacey, would you have signed?
As a witness,
you would have signed.
Sure.
You would have signed. Okay.
Okay, so what Lacey at least said she'd sign as a witness, thank goodness. Rodney Glassman, no, he wouldn't have signed. He bashed Brnovich. I still can't figure out why. He bashed Brnovich for things that Brnovich actually worked against. He doesn't even understand what Brnovich has done. He just wants to bash people. Rodney Glassman, I have to just tell you this. He's been running for office here in Arizona since 2010. He ran for Senate. He's run for Corporation Commission. He's run for Congress. He's run for Maricopa County Assessor. Everything but dog catcher. I'm not exaggerating now. This is true. And when he first started running, which party he was? He was a Democrat. So Rodney Glassman, he's a Democrat. He lost. And he looked at Arizona and said, well, I think if I want to win, this is me thinking, if I want to win election, I have to become a Republican. So he's like, I'm a Republican. Ran for office again. Lost. Different office. Keeps changing offices. Where can I win? I've never seen somebody, and there's plenty of them, who want to be in office so bad that they're willing to do the bending and the pretzel, what he does here. It's incredible. So Rodney Glassman, in 10 years, he's gone from a Democrat, a guy who ran for office as a Democrat, ran for office, to a guy who is literally supported and endorsed by Paul Gosar, for goodness sake, and refuses to shun that endorsement after all the stuff Gosar has done, showing up and speaking at national white national meetings. And it's incredible. Rodney Glassman wants to be in office so bad that he has now chameleoned himself into being the right-wing poster boy. He's not that guy. But he's chameleoned himself and twisted himself into a pretzel to become this guy and put on this persona for people who are trying to vote for AG. And he just said he would not have signed off on the election. No basis for it. No basis. Just wouldn't do it. Because he knows that's what he thinks the Republicans who are voting in this primary want to hear. Wow. And by the way, Rodney Glassman, you got to hear this. He was sitting right next to the host, to Ted Simons. He's a big dude, and he kept leaning forward. He kept interrupting, and it was Ted Simons. This is just one clip of this, but it's hilarious.
Current Attorney General for over politicizing the office. How far do you go as a Rodney? Please, and can you thank you.
So Ted Simons is asking somebody else a question, and Glassman just won't have it. He just won't have it. He wants to answer every question. He kept doing that the whole time. I just love this.
How far do you go?
I love this.
No, Rodney.
He's like a child. Oh, I thought that was great. Rodney Glassman. And even Andrew Gould, and he knows better. He's a former Supreme Court justice here in Arizona. He knows what needs to be done. He talked about the fact that you have to have evidence of widespread fraud to not do it. Even he danced around his answer to the question, would you have signed off on the election results?
Okay, Andy, what do you think? What would you have done? And did the Attorney General do the right thing in offering that signature?
You know what you have to do as a judge, what you have to do as an attorney general, is you have to go on what the facts are. And so I'll answer your question in this fashion. If you were able to get the information, sufficient information, not just reading the internet, not anecdotal stories, not an affidavit here or there, but you're able to garner enough evidence to prove that there was at least substantial questions, then I wouldn't have signed.
So he found a way to get there where he said I wouldn't have signed, but only if there was real evidence, which none of this is what we have. So I think Andy Gould would actually do the right thing if he was the attorney general, but he can't bring himself to say it that way. He has to twist it around and say, yes, I wouldn't have signed if all of these things had lined up, which did not line up. But not one of these people stood up and said, hey, Ted, we've analyzed this election to death. We've done audit after audit, review after review. It's been reviewed and analyzed. It's right up to, we've done everything we can. And we have uncovered no facts or actual evidence of widespread voter fraud in Arizona. Hasn't existed. Does not exist. And based on that, I would have actually signed, and I'll do the same thing in the next election. Now, one of them stood up and told this audience, hey, the election here in Arizona was safe and secure, and you should have confidence in it. Not one of them did. And that's scary. That's scary for all of us. I don't know how you elect any of these people to be the attorney general if that's what they think of our laws. Coming up, you heard about it. You heard about Disney World, right? Disney's a big fight. Conservatives aren't happy. Governor DeSantis changed the law there to get Disney, and people were boycotting. Remember that? People were going to get rid of their Disney Plus subscriptions and not go to Disney World, canceling their kids' vacations. The date is in. Let me tell you what happened when we get back. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead, it's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back. Barry Marks and in for Broomhead. Thanks for being here, everybody. Boy, oh boy. You remember what happened? It seemed like just like a month ago, right? In Florida, the big fight, Governor DeSantis and Disney. Disney came out and said as a corporation, they weren't happy with a piece of legislation in Florida. And as a retaliation, the governor there in the legislature, they decided to remove a special tax district that was set up. Disney basically has its own little town around Disney World. They handle all the sanitation, and they pay outside law enforcement to be law enforcement. They basically run their own little town. And the governor and the state legislature took that away. And all this stuff came out about people were going to boycott. There was going to be we're going to boycott Disney. We're going to boycott Disney Plus. And you saw a couple stories. Somebody canceled their Disney Plus subscription, or people canceled their vacation to Disney World or Disneyland to punish Disney. Really what they're doing is punishing their own kids. Well, here we are in May now. Friday the 13th today, by the way. And Disney's doing just fine. So Disney reports that Disney Plus subscriptions, these financial reports just came out. Disney Plus subscriptions, way up. The theme park revenue, the Disney World, the Disneylands, all that kind of stuff. The theme park revenue doubled this quarter. Doubled. I don't think that boycott worked. I don't think it worked. What's that? What do they say? All publicity is good publicity. I don't know how this thing happens, but folks are able to separate it out. And it was alarming to me that all Disney did. Was have a different opinion about a law. That's it. They expressed an opinion within their First Amendment right. They expressed an opinion. And the retaliation that we saw from the state of Florida should send chills up everybody's spine. I mean, I want you to think about this the other way, that if a company came out and said something against the law that Republicans, that Democrats liked, how Republicans would feel. I mean, we have to have First Amendment rights. We have to be able to say what we want to say without the government coming in and punishing us for that. And that's literally what happened here. It's a little scary when you think of it that way. It's a bit scary, but Disney seems to be up. That Disney Plus. You guys have Disney Plus? Anybody do that? It's like, I think now you get Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN. It's like a package. Everything's packaged. I got to tell you, back when all this stuff started, I said, who's going to pay for that? Right? We have free TV. We already have cable. Who's going to pay for these things? What do I know? It's they're everywhere, and they just keep opening up more of them. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. There's so much content out there now. But Disney, they seem to be doing just fine despite the giant conservative boycott that started with the Florida law, the supposed don't say gay law. Their theme park revenue is doubled. It literally doubled. You ever seen the stories about the parents who were canceling our trip to Disney World? People were going to open their own Disney World. Remember, there's going to be conservative Disney World. Here we are. Twice as much money coming in. Twice as much. I think they're going to be okay. Thank goodness. Thank goodness Disney's going to be okay. All right. On the other side, we've got Jeff Munn standing by in the KTAR News Center. He's going to bring us up to date on everything happening around the world and here in Arizona. And then we're going to talk about inflation on the other side of this. We've got it's not pretty here in Arizona. We're going to tell you how we compare to the rest of the country when we talk about inflation. I'm going to give you the absolute latest on gas prices, where they are today. today compared to tomorrow, compared to yesterday. And also, there are Democrats out there, some of the progressive left, they think it's a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy to create inflation. I'm going to tell you about that next as well. I'm Barry Markson. I'm in for Broomhead. Stay with us, everybody. It's KTAR.